have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm with my friend Alan George and the church online pastor at Life Church, the newly Life Church, not lifechurch.tv. So formally, thanks, Alan.
Formerly known as lifechurch.tv.
I can't imagine how many links and things you have to update. Like, just it's just got to be a lot, but it's worth it because that's such a clear way of saying it, and it's where people are moving. So I definitely know that there are hundreds, thousands of churches, because you guys led the way on that, that are going to be changing their deal. So they're going to be changing their URL.
Yeah, the .church domain, that's exciting. That's exciting.
Yeah. It's super exciting. So with this, I text you because I selfishly wanted you on to kind of record a session here with us, because – You guys have been doing something that kind of like, and I kind of said like, kind of kicked me like to, I got to be thinking about this. And what it is kind of this workflow kind of automation stuff. Now, I don't say automation for those who are listening. That's not a bad thing. Just how do you scale? And I think that's the question, is how do you go from, you know, caring for five people that you know is pretty straightforward, but how do you go from, you know, 100 to 1,000? And you guys deal with this with your community, and we at Saddleback deal with this in our community. So anyways, tell us the story, and we'll get into all the nitty-gritty of the technology. But tell us how, and I think it's around Redbox. It's actually around a DVD rental. So tell us the story of how you guys had this idea.
Yeah, I think the idea was existing, you know, everywhere already. One day it clicked in my mind, because the heart behind everything we do here, whether it's church online or at any one of our campuses, it's always making sure, first and foremost, we want to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ, but we want people to feel needed and known. Because you can walk into a church, whether it's a physical building or online, and you can attend a service and not talk to anybody and leave. But that's not really what Christ intended for us. And so our heart has always been, how do we help people feel needed and known? How do we connect with our community? So the Redbox story was funny, because I got an email one day from Redbox saying, congratulations, it's your 3-year anniversary. It's been 3 years ago that you rented your first DVD. And I was like, man, that's kind of nice that they remember that, because I forgot about it. That's not a date that I'm holding on to, but it showed me that Redbox valued me as a customer. And then all of a sudden my gear shifted, and I thought, man, we have people that come to church and, for example, they give their lives to Christ. And I know the date where I gave my life to Christ. And I wonder, how can we celebrate, just find one more way to celebrate with our community when they've made such a life-changing decision? And so it started with me calling our team and saying, hey, guys, whenever somebody accepts Christ, we give them the opportunity to fill out a form. And so we've got it time-stamped. And so we could then forward to 365 days later, let's get an email that's triggered to go out to them saying, congratulations, did you know that it was 1 year ago that you made this life-changing decision? Tell us your story. Tell us what's going on. And so that was a huge shift in the way we thought of how we could continue connecting with our community.
Well, and so with that, obviously, since that idea, there's a lot of easy ways to set that up, and there's some more complex ways. Did you guys originally set that up with MailChimp, with some of the automation things? And then, because I know now you're on HubSpot, but HubSpot, and we'll get to that in a moment, is a little bit of a more robust technology. But how did you originally brainstorm how to do that? You know the date where they accept Christ, and 365 days later, you know, you want to send them something. And then obviously there's a conversation in between. But how did you set that up originally?
Yeah, because we're all, I mean, Jay, you know our team, we're all pastors. None of us are like technology geeks. And so it's like, all right, we're a bunch of people that love people and we're excited that they made this decision. So if we personally led somebody to Christ, and if this was one of my best friends or somebody that I, you know personally, what would that conversation be like? You know, that first conversation after the prayer is going to be, man, I'm so happy for you. I'd give him a hug and I'd just, hey, let's get you plugged in. Let's get you started with this walk. And so in my mind, as a team, we sat down and thought, okay, so what does it mean to say, let's get you started? And we thought, okay, so we need them to make church a regular part of their life. We need them to get a Bible. If they don't have a Bible, let's get you a Bible. And we want them to get into community at the least, like that's where we want you to start. And so we literally took what we thought would be the way we would handle a one-on-one situation. And how do we put that same thing online? Because even with technology, we're not trying to replace relationships. We're just trying to enhance the relationship. So how do I have the same conversation with someone in Brazil or Germany and help them? If we're their church, how do we help them? And so it started with that, okay, first email, you know, when you get saved, we're excited for you. A year later, we're excited, you know, tell us your story. And then we thought, let's fill it in. So we're not just blasting emails every week. Yeah. But it's a reminder, just saying, hey, how are you doing? You know, we want to check up on you. Are you, how's your walk? Because, I mean, you and I both know there are ups and downs in this walk. And so how can we as a church position ourselves to be there for our people when it's not the weekend and it's Wednesday at 2 a.m. or whatever, yeah, and the world is crashing down for someone? How can we be there for them? So that was kind of the why behind every decision we made from then. How do we help people feel needed and known?
And what I love about this is, and part of the reason why, again, I said this in the beginning, I wanted to have this conversation was, you know, we just hung out recently at a conference for a couple of days. And I was like, man, I need to do this. I need to have some of this automation. You know, we use for our forming system, we use WooFoo, and that's a popular forming system. And they allow you to do a customizable, like automated response. And we have some emails that go out through that. So if you accept Christ, an email goes out and then someone follows up. But what I loved about this idea, and we were talking, was, man, I could totally use basic MailChimp workflow, because MailChimp workflow is like $10 a month. I think it's up to 2,000 email addresses. And you're literally able to import somebody and you can say 3 days later from import, send them an email. 10 days later from that, you know what I mean? And for $10 a month using MailChimp, which MailChimp is scalable, it's a huge platform, tons of, you know, church, and more importantly, you know, for scalability, a lot of secular companies use it. So, you know, they trust it, but you can test this idea. And that's ultimately what I came out from our time together was like, okay, I'm just going to go out and test this. And I'm going to set up a year track. It'll cost me $20 a year, nothing for the personal. So and what I love is, and I wanted to get into this, and Niels is with us. So we actually had our first kind of live drop in here during a recording. So this is what I love. Hey, Niels, how you doing?
Hey, everybody. Good to catch up.
What's up? Yeah. Are you like at Facebook headquarters? Like, where are you at right now?
I'm at my co-working space here in Lower Manhattan.
Sweet. Sweet. So I'm glad for you to be on here, because I know, Niels, you have some experience with MailChimp workflow and all this stuff. So what I wanted to ask you, Alan, was, so in how many contacts do you guys pretty much, so if there's 52 weeks in a year, let's say from day one, they accept Christ, to, let's say there's some kind of celebration, you know, a year later. And I think you had said that you do like, hey, you just celebrated a year walking with God, tell us your story. And you give that as an opportunity to capture your story. How many contacts have you guys determined that you want to have, let's say, that are automated? Obviously, there's going to be a personal element, but how many emails is that? Is it 10? Is it 12? Obviously, it's not 52. You're not bugging them every week, but how many?
I have to look and see. I think it's about 12 in a year that we have. And the way we thought about it was, okay, so there's day one, you just got saved. Great, congratulations. And then we figured day three, how's it going? Because, you know, it's just been 3 days after you made this decision. And then we wanted to send them a reminder on day seven. And so the day seven email is, hey, last week this time, you joined us at church online. The service is starting again. We'd love for you to join us. And so it's just another reminder, because new Christians, like baby Christians, we all need help with, man, I wish somebody would just drag me to church. Well, this email is kind of that friend knocking on the friend's door and saying, dude, you're coming to church with me. Let's go. And so from then it became, you know, what's the next step? And so for each church it would, or ministry, it would depend on what their next steps are. Maybe it's getting them into a life group. Maybe it's finding out if they have a prayer need or volunteering. For me though, and it goes back to kind of a conversation you and I have had years ago when I wasn't blogging, and you told me, it's like, Alan, you're a church online pastor. You can't not blog. And you kind of opened my eyes to seeing how, if we're online, then our community's online, then we've got to find a way to connect with them. And so for me, even this whole Redbox and all of that was just a continuation of that conversation you and I had a long time ago of me, how do I get to know my people better? And that's the heart of it, versus just, oh, let's just automate stuff and send it out. Now, and now I should say this, when people respond and say, here's my story, I personally respond to those emails. And I don't care if I have to sit and email 50 people on a Tuesday, I will, because they took the time to email me. I'm going to take the time to respond back because I'm their pastor.
Which, so, okay, so now, so MailChimp workflow is kind of like a basic level. You guys have gone to even a higher level where you guys obviously baited this in some form, it worked, and you decided that you wanted to go even a notch higher. So that's HubSpot. So for all those listening, tell us about your journey with, you know, HubSpot, and why are you guys using something called HubSpot?
HubSpot, honest, is a tool, and there are other tools out there that do this. The concept, and Nils has talked about this even on his Periscope, it's called inbound marketing. If you Google inbound marketing, all these fun stuff will pop out. But it started, again, it's one of those real life experiences for me. When you buy something on Amazon, it could be a pen. You get an email saying, hey, we've shipped your pen. Look at a couple of other things that people have bought with it. Here's a notebook, here's a pen holder, or here's whatever, whatever. The idea is they're trying to draw you into their world. Or even if you don't buy it, if you look at a pen online, it's funny. I wanted to buy a pair of shoes, and I looked at these pair of shoes and I thought, okay, it was good. And everywhere I went after that, I didn't buy it. Everywhere I went after that, I saw the same pair of shoes. It was on Facebook. It was on Google. It was everywhere. YouTube even had these ads popping up. And, you know, it feels like, man, this must be a sign from God. You know, I probably should buy these pairs of shoes. And I ended up buying. So I was kind of, you know, that worked. And in my mind, I thought, man, what if somebody is looking for something about Christ or looking for an answer and they have a tough moment and they search a blog post or something? What if we can use technology to reach them? What if we can follow them and be creative, be smart about how we're reaching people? Because when you look all throughout history, the message stayed the same, but the method changed. And so in our day and age, living in this world of technology where the world is bigger, but people are more connected than ever, how do you use that to draw people in to a conversation or make them aware of a topic or something, but give them something to where they start coming with the intention of how can I lead them to Christ? And so the whole inbound marketing concept is instead of outbound marketing, which is like, hey, Jay, buy this. It's, you know, you looking for something and me dropping breadcrumbs to where you follow me and come and buy the product that I want. And so that's kind of nutshell what inbound marketing is all about. HubSpot is a tool that enables you to do something. A lot of it is creating content and making yourself available where people are looking for answers.
I'd love, Alan, for you to share a little bit about where you would encourage a church to start, because I know you guys have a full-time employee dedicated to this inbound marketing process, and it can feel very overwhelming. Like, man, Alan can do that. Maybe Saddleback can do that. But where does our church even begin in pursuing this? And even, you know, I think even we all love Gary Vaynerchuk and some of the stuff he's doing. And he's always like, stupid automation. Don't do automation. But I think there's a reality, and what I love hearing you say is like, it's automated, but it's very personal. I'm emailing people back. I'm responding. So I'm using automation along with personalization. How do you balance that? But really, I think more importantly, how does a church kind of begin this process of moving into it without a big budget, without a, you know, big staff?
So Nils, I I'll split that into two questions. So I feel like one question is there's the whole automation side, but then the other side is where do you start?
Exactly.
I think for me, we have two kids. We have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. And when my daughter was like 4 or 5, she was going through some, she's not going to listen to anything we're saying. And so I was watching my wife one day, picked up her laptop, and she searched on Google, something about like mother-daughter relationship with a 5-year-old or something like that, right? And I was like, why? I just stopped her. I was like, hey, why'd you do that? And she's like, well, Google's got answers for everything. Like, I want to know how to raise my daughter well. And it made me think, if people are searching for answers online, wouldn't it be amazing for the church to be the first response that they see when it comes to parenting, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to, finding purpose in your life, instead of all these secular just, oh yeah, you can find it within yourself. That's baloney. I mean, you find it in Christ. And how can we be the content that people find? So I think content creation is very important. It goes back to what Jay talked about a long time ago with me. Start blogging, start writing, start just put the stuff out there. And then start with something as simple as maybe the salvation email workflow or whatever it is in your context that makes sense. Start there. I would say with part of the second question of, is automating stuff, making it, less personable, or you're not able to connect with people. I would say I have 69 services online. I can't be at every service and talk to every person that is getting saved. Last year, we had around 10,000 people give their life to Christ. While I might not be able to have that first initial conversation, I might have to automate that. I can very well make sure that if they email me, I'm going to sit and figure out a way to scale my time to respond to each and every person, because that matters to me. And that those people, I care about them. And so I think we've got to stop being afraid of this whole scalability thing and just dive into it. You do have to, if you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So for me as a church online pastor, I had to prioritize what's important for me and tweak my schedule accordingly.
So what I love about that, I've been very grateful, just again, I want to say Life Church as a whole and you, Alan, you guys have just been so transparent with where you guys have been successful and then some learnings in this. So even this, I mean, again, when I emailed you or text you to say, hey, can we come on and talk about this? Because I walked away like challenged, I just like, I got to figure this out because I love that idea. I mean, I just love the idea, even how you said, I remember when you were explaining it, I think it was at a breakout, the idea of, somebody gets saved. And what do you do if a friend got saved? You would text them, say, come to service this weekend, and how, hey, that part, we can set up something so that just happens. And I got convicted that, man, I need to do this. And I would say a big type of this, and for those who are listening, I would challenge you to read The Lean Startup or Scrum, some of those books, because part of this is because even large churches, we have to deal with this. This idea is that we don't have an unlimited amount of budget. And part of it, you don't know if your idea is going to work. And so you got to just get something in beta and try it out. And so what I love about, maybe HubSpot's not your thing, but maybe MailChimp is something you can go out and roll. And just like Alan was saying, roll out, maybe it's a salvation kind of, you figure out what that looks like. But we got a couple more minutes here. You had talked about this idea that you had a large amount of people in your core, and you had an even larger amount of people in your, let's say, your community, people that were watching every week. And you were saying with HubSpot, you learned over a course of eight months to a year more about how do people go from the community to the core. And you had said prior when you were stepping into your role, and I remember when you first stepped into this role a couple of years ago, you were very much like, hey, we're just going to focus on being us and figuring out what's working, and which I thought was such a noble thing to do. It's so easy at a large church to just go out and start doing stuff. And you were so like, no, I got to take care of what God's made me responsible for. But you said HubSpot helped you figure out that process of how to feed that funnel. Can you just explain that a little bit in your own words? Because I probably just butchered it. So, yeah.
So it's not necessarily HubSpot, the tool, because again, the tool, whether it's MailChimp or HubSpot, whatever the tool is you can use, I think for me, it was the why behind the what. It's not just what we do, but it's why we do it. And the heart was, we felt, if you look at it as a funnel, you know, at the top of the funnel, we had all these people coming in. And again, I feel like this principle applies not just to online. It applies to even if you're a physical church and a campus pastor at a local church. You might have 50 or 500 or 5,000 people walking through your door. How do you get to know them? Now, practically, we can't get to know every single person. And so we have small groups and all of that. But the desire came from, we want people to feel like they're needed and known. And so for years, I've said this, Church Online felt like sand between our fingers. We had all these people come in at the top of the funnel. But when we go down and see, okay, so this person came, did they come back? We don't know. How long were they there? You get some information online. The only time we begin to know the core was if they had either served at Church Online, or if they were tithing and bringing offering, stuff like that, or if they had in some way communicated us through to us through email. So there was a gap between the core and the top of the funnel. And so the journey was then trying to find out who those people are. Mm-hmm. Now, one example about salvations, we back in the day, about 5 years ago, when you click the slide at Church Online where you can respond and say, yes, I want to give my life to Christ, it used to be just a slide. But the tension within me of, I want to know who that number is behind that hand, you know? And so that caused us to go, okay, let's use FormStack, or let's use something to let a form pop up and say, hey, if you want to fill out your name and email address, I'd love to connect with you. So that was where we started. We didn't have MailChimp even back then. It was just a form where they filled out their email, and that email and name came to us, and we just would say hi to them. Or we, you know, it was very, very basic. And so it was a journey that happened over the last 5 years of, okay, how do we, if people want to know us, like if we can get to know people that are saved, what if somebody said that they wanted to volunteer? And what if they clicked a slide but never actually volunteered? Could we then talk to them? It's like, say you and I met somewhere and you said, man, this Church Online thing seems interesting, Alan, but I'm going to think about it and I'll let you know later. Well, if you live somewhere else, there's no way I can connect with you. But if you lived here in Oklahoma City, and if I saw you somewhere, I could say, hey, Jay, last time we talked, we thought you talked about this. What do you think? Well, here's a couple of questions I had, Alan. You know, tell me about this. So you and I can then have a conversation and continue that journey. Well, online, they might say they're interested, but, you know, things might happen and they might forget about it. How do you continue the conversation when someone doesn't live in that same city or wherever you are? How do you stay connected and put this topic front of their mind? And so that's what this process allows us. If I can get their email address and be intentional about the relationship I'm trying to create, then I can lead them, whether it's salvation, serving, tithing, whatever, inviting people to church. It's the whole, if I can find a way to know you, we can walk through this journey together.
Yeah. Oh no! Nils, you got a question, man. You go.
I got a bonus question that I'm gonna shift the topic to technology a little bit. Alan, I could listen to you talk about this stuff all day, and love that you're sharing so openly. So there's so many things at Life Church that I stalk you guys. I get ministered by you guys so much. My family's actually reading my kids every day. We're reading the Bible app for kids, physical book. And I would love to know the why by the app book, but we love it. My kids love it. I love the life.church move using that URL. I love, I just saw the Apple TV announcement with the YouVersion. So many cool things. But here's the big question I have. 2 years ago, I asked you what you were digging into. You said mobile, more mobile. Yet you didn't have a church app 2 years ago. You just now, Life Church has a church app. I would love to know the why. One, because you could have made an app 5 years ago. Why just now, you know, with the app and what you guys are seeing, what you, just that process, and what you see ahead for the app.
You know, you and I both know, we all know mobile is big, and it's, you know, how do we effectively reach our people? And so the heart even behind this is how do you help people feel needed and known? For me, the tension has always been, can we do an app? Yes. But can we do it in such a way where it's building relationship and not just streaming content? Because even for us, the way we define Church Online is, Church Online is not just video streaming content. It's community around content. And if I have an app that shares content, great. But is that true engagement. How much of an engagement is that? What does engagement look like? I think mobile looks very different from what desktop experience would look like or Apple TV looks like. I saw, I don't even know if I should say this, but I saw some plans for just some Apple TV stuff that we're thinking about, and I'm excited about it. Mm. But, you know, I think with technology, there's always that desire to, you know, here's the newest and best thing out there. I think for anybody, it's knowing when's the right time for you. When's the right time for your organization? Is this the right time for your audience? And so are we there yet? We're definitely not. Is there a lot of talk going on? Absolutely. My desire is, and I mean, 2 years ago you asked me this, I'll say it again. It's still mobile. It's high on every conversation that we have. Where there's a lot of freedom, there's a lot of accountability as well. And so we just need to keep digging in as to how can we do this better? How can we do it differently? And I think Jay mentioned constraints. We all have constraints, but I think innovation is, you know, comes out of constraints. Mm. When you put a box and you say, okay, it's got to be community. It's got to build relationships. It's not just content streaming, but we need content streaming as well. And the size of our screen is just this much, you know, how do you build a relationship through this? And so I think the questions are still being asked. We're still pushing. Timing, man, there's, We could have done it a long time ago, but we've got some, even the app that's out right now, it is just real. I mean, that's just ground floor. We've got a lot of exciting things that we're thinking about. And so I can't say more, but it's cool. Coming.
That's well, awesome. Love it. Thanks, Alan, for taking the time, man. I mean, again, you know, Life Church as a whole has a huge ministry to just the world, but also you guys spend a lot of time ministering to other churches. I know Saddleback is very grateful for everything you do, and I'm very grateful for everything you guys do and your transparency. And thank you for taking some time out of your busy week to share with our community. And we're praying for you guys as always. And I can't wait to see Apple TV. So I can't wait. So for everything on the show, you can go to socialmedia.church to learn more about us. You can also go to our show notes. We're going to have all links and things that we talked about during the show. And thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.